Hey badminton community, it is Jeff and Henry here from Volant and the Badminton Podcast. Welcome to episode number 7 of the Tokyo 2020 show. We are bringing you the latest results, news, polls, predictions, expectations, all of those things on this show. So thank you for tuning in. Henry, what are you doing?
I'm trying to find the men's single seeds that just didn't show up last night.
They did not show up at all, did they?
No. I thought it was going to be business as usual, but last night it was an emotional roller coaster. And to be honest, when my motor was down 19-20 and he hit that net tape, I felt like vomiting.
We've got to move on, man. We've just got to move on.
But how? What about Kevin Cordon? Smashed his way through in Kylong Angus. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even put his racket on it. Mm-hmm. Sai Praneeth, where was he? Cho Ten Chen, he was playing not to lose.
He had a close one against Brian Yang. Almost lost that one. Yep. Yeah.
Wang Zuwei, 3-set. To be honest, Nat Nguyen did challenge him. Gave him a tough 3-set. Christy, where was he?
Play that well either. Ken Yu played really well. He took the match really pretty much to him, but yeah, he didn't play the best he could. And he mentioned that in his interviews afterwards as well. So
we have to move on.
Oh, now you got me all emotional.
I don't think I can cope.
How did Kento lose in straight sets last night?
I honestly don't know. I wish I could tell you why he lost last night, but I guess in his own words, post-match, after losing to Hyo Kwang Hee, 15-21, 19-21, he said, "I'm sorry I could not fulfill all the expectations that people had of me. It's hard for me to deal with this. I was trying to be aggressive, but I couldn't stay strong emotionally."
That hits home. Those words mean so much. Like, I've never been in a position ever that I've been thought to win an Olympic gold medal, but I have been in a situation where I've been expected to win matches. And that expectation can be debilitating. And we see it, the world's best player. We've seen him play in the world stage, world championships, all these events where there's heaps of pressure, but this one got the better of him, unfortunately.
And we saw that in the way that he was playing. His movement was a bit stiff, wasn't as fluid as it normally is. His control at the net, just the touch just wasn't quite there either.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Hyo, kudos to him. He brought an A-plus
game. He was so aggressive. Mm. He was taking all the chances. No pressure, of course, on his side. But he played, his attacking game was phenomenal as well. So no credit away from him whatsoever. Mm. But we are very much Kento Momota fans, as many of you are watching. And we do feel disappointed, but we do want to support Kento. We do love you still. We love you, Momo. We still respect you. And we really want to see you come back stronger from this. But it is very much heartfelt from our perspective.
And I think when Momo first became world number one, there was a period where I think he wasn't as emotionally strong. He didn't have the confidence. He didn't feel like he was the world number one for a period of time. And I think he kind of needed the consistent international tournaments to kind of remind himself
that he is that good.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do wish him all the best. He did have, of course, his injury as well as getting COVID, but he did say physically he was fine.
Okay. Yeah.
But emotionally,
yeah, I think it's a big weight to lift on his shoulders. So, yeah. But we do have to move on. We do have some other unfortunate news though that we have to cover. Zhang Beiwen, USA. She was up. She won the first set. She was down by a couple of points in the second, but playing really, really well. Mm. And she sustained an Achilles tendon injury. And
that's awful. When she moved back and then she just held that leg.
Yeah. She just fell on the ground, held that leg, and the wheelchair came out. And of course, she was in tears because she's had a crowdfunding experience to just get to Tokyo. Mm. The hardship she's had to face. So, really feel for her as well.
Yeah.
But all right, okay. Got it.
I think we have to talk one more news, one more unfortunate event, which was Sowoo Yik and Aaron Chia, they showed up.
They played really well. We've been saying how if Sowoo Yik can take control of that front court and dominate and not make those errors, then they're going to be really dangerous, which he did. But Aaron played so well. They rotated so well. They were challenging in the midcourt. They were so early. Kevin and Marcus were just under so much pressure the whole time. Of course, the service fault probably didn't help with the emotions and everything happening
16,
in the moment.
15.
In the second set after losing the first. But look, the Malaysians played awesome.
I don't think
the Minions played anywhere near as they could, as well as we've seen them play. But just another upset, number one seed. What's going on in Tokyo 2020? It's crazy.
All the top seeds.
Where are they? It's absolutely crazy. This is what can happen in Olympics, right?
Yeah, exactly. But now I guess the pressure falls on to Hendra and Ahsan, who just won their match this morning as well. But again, you know, who knows how they're going to go under the pressure when they move into, I guess, well, semifinals.
And maybe the gold medal match. So, well, they did overcome the pressure when Kevin and Marcus lost early in the World Championships 2019. They went to win it, did the daddies. So maybe they can do it again, but I'm sure they would have preferred to have some compatriots in the draw with them, but not this time. In other news, mixed doubles semifinals, Watanabe Higashino versus Huang Dongping, Wang Yilu. They did lose out in three sets. How did you see that one?
Look, first one was really good. We could see Watanabe really being able to find those gaps and really slowing down that Chinese pair's play, because they really love that fast game.
And fast game.
They didn't really give them the opportunity to do that in the first game, but there was a slight adjustment after the first set when the Chinese lost, and Wang Yilu really took control of that mid-court position. He also covered that back forehand position where he's normally under a lot of pressure and doesn't play so well in. And from there, it was just attack, right?
The Japanese were just under defense the whole time. And probably out of the two, of course, Arisa's defense isn't as strong as Yuta's. So she got a lot of pressure in the defense there. And then in the third set, they just kept it going. I think they just played them out of their game. Yuta was making some errors we don't usually see him make. And at the end of the day, that third set being 21-14, pretty comfortable set for the Chinese, so they played really well. Yeah. Of course, that means we are going into an all-Chinese final, because in the other semi-final, we did have Zheng Siwei, Huang Yaqiong beat Tang Chunman, Seeing Swit. Straight sets. That was probably more straightforward. The Hong Kong pair did have some good stages where they were able to make a few points in a row. But then at the end of the day,
after that mid-game interval in that second set, they managed to get the attack on.
Yeah.
But you would think they would, because they were so far behind that they could play so freely.
Yeah.
And then I think Huang Yaqiong and Zheng Siwei just switched back on.
Too far ahead and So we are going into that all-Chinese final. Head-to-head at the moment is 13-2 to Siwei and Yaqiong. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. But I would probably agree with that. I think they've got the mental advantage, so I would say gold for Zheng Siwei, Huang Yaqiong.
The statistics say a lot there, and Yaqiong, I think it's just too fast, too fast at the net. I don't think they're going to be challenged. It's going to be an epic match. It's going to be super fast. But I think at the end of the rally, Yaqiong and Siwei will most likely be winning them.
I think this does answer the question, how are the Chinese going to be at the Tokyo Games?
They're going so well.
They're dominating, amazing, especially in this mixed doubles.
Yeah.
So let's move on. We have got Mads Christoffersen, a men's singles player from Denmark, who was training with Victor Axelsen and Anders Antonsen every single day in the weeks leading up towards the 2020 Tokyo Games. And he's number 71 in the world himself. So let's hear from him as to how the preparation for the Danes looked like. So Mads, how has the training preparation been like for Anders and Victor in the weeks preceding the Olympics?
They have been tough. It has been some tough practicing. It's been a lot of physical based, and we have also played a bit, but that was more like when we came closer to the Olympics. Then we played a bit more against the guys. The preparation has been like they have been doing the exercises, and then the other men singles, they have the been shifting, like they have going and feeding a bit, and then they have on the other court next to the Olympic court, they have been trying to practicing what they have to practice. So we have been like in and out on the court at the Olympic, so there was a fresh feeder inside the Olympic court, like on the Olympic court. So we could really set a high pace and try to do the best for Victor and Anders. But it has been some tough practices for Victor and Anders. So they are in good shape. I can say that.
Yeah, they definitely seem that way, especially Axelsen yesterday night when we saw him dispatch. Who was it that he played last night?
From Finland.
Cole Jonan is who we played from Finland last night, and really just dispatched him. He just seemed so strong, so physically fit. And I think when we think about Axelsen and Antonsen, is that I guess it is with the Danish team in general, is that they are quite fun loving and quite community vibe, especially with fans out there as well. Terms of those two players and their personalities and how they prepare, do they prepare any differently?
Well, you know how Anders is on his social media and how Victor is on his social media. That's actually a quite good like example of how they are. I don't think that they are like, their approach is not that different, but still it's different because of their personality. So it may seem a little bit more like loose and fun for Anders, but it's also so serious. So it's on a level as Victor. There is nothing, how can you say it? There's nothing that is not according to the plan for both of them. So it's really serious for both them. But maybe Anders is a little bit more joking and stuff like that. But that's also just because he's how he is. But it's mostly off court when we are not practicing. When we are on court, it's still like really serious, and the same with Victor. But you can also joke with Victor after the practice and stuff like that. So I don't think that it has been so differently. They are just like two really professional athletes. And you can feel that, and I could feel that this period. It's the first time I have been in an Olympic practice, so that was also fun for me, and just to see how the guys were doing at every practice. That was amazing.
Yeah, well, they have definitely come through their rounds quite strongly, and I don't think either of them have lost a set yet either. So compared to some of the other top seeds that we are seeing lose, such as Kento Momota, for the men's singles event, has your prediction for the gold medal changed since this has happened?
Well, I hope that Victor and Anders is doing well, of course. But I don't know if my prediction has changed. I thought that Kento and Victor was going to meet each other, and then I actually thought that Victor would win because he has been really good at practice the last couple of weeks, and I didn't know what how Kento was, but I could also imagine that there was this really high amount of pressure, big amount of pressure because it's in Japan and stuff like that. And I also fought back on Thailand, where Victor was just dominating. And there was also like this long period of practice up to Thailand. And then he was just in really good shape. And you could just feel that he has been prepared for these tournaments. And I just felt that it was the same this time with Rita. So I just, yeah. But I still think it's gonna be, yeah. There are still so many good men's singles players left, so it's still quite open. And I don't think it would surprise me if, I don't know, Jonathan Christie or, I don't know what Shiyuki and Chen Long is coming with either, because you haven't seen them for so long. So that's also going to be, I would say Chen Long against Li Xijia today. They're playing today, right? Or have they played? No, they're playing today later on. That's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. So, yeah. And that will also tell us a bit more where those players are. Victor and Anas is also getting tested with the openings they have. So, yeah. I think maybe Anas was a bit luckier because he has he's going to play against Toby Pensi, and I think that should be okay.
I think the round of 16 are definitely going to really test some of these higher level players, and will really be able to see or gauge their standards. So definitely looking forward to those matches.
Yeah. So Henry, we've got some match play starting at 5 p.m. local time, Tokyo time. We do have the men's singles round of 16, as well as the women's doubles quarterfinals. We did cover a lot of the women's doubles quarterfinals yesterday in yesterday's show, so that's episode 6 of the Tokyo 2020 show. So if you are interested in seeing what we think about those matchups, make sure you do check it out on Facebook or on YouTube, because they'll be there for you to listen to. But let's get into the men's singles.
Yeah.
Round of 16, they're awesome matches. We're gonna have to only pick one because there's too many.
You don't
want to
miss any of them, but if we had to choose one, Jeff, which one would you choose?
Zijia versus Chen Long, I would say. That is at 7:15 local time. Zijia, we talked about him maybe being a little bit under pressure with Breece. At the start of the first set it was, for the first 5 points or so. But then,
when Breece was just coming out, charging at him.
But just too strong. Like that around the head. He can hit that from anywhere and it's smash just cracking. Cracking cross court smash. Yeah. Like
even it's when just Breece, so spontaneous as well. It's just like,
last
how
second,
do you hit that?
Bam. Yeah. And then even if Breece is waiting, it's the quality's too good, he still can't even get it.
Yeah.
So he played awesome last night. And Chen Long was Chen Long. Mm. He's just a machine. Like he's stable, solid, that defense. He had some long rallies with Pablo Abian from Spain last night, but he's looking really solid.
He's looking like the Chen Long that we've seen in the past. I mean, Chen Long typically brings Chen Long, but it is the kind of, I feel he's probably about 80-90% of what he was when he won the gold. Just general thoughts on how he's looking. So I think that's going to be a pretty epic match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So back to back Olympics, do you think maybe for him?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, with the history between Malaysia and China in the Olympics, of course, with Lin Dan and Chong Wei, I think this is kind of like a redemption match. Although a very different player in Zijia compared to Chong Wei. But I actually see Zijia winning this one.
So do I. Yeah. I see that attack coming through. I know that Chen Long's defense is really good, but Zijia's attack has been really solid. His net play has been really good yesterday to set that up. Yeah. So I think Zijia for this one as well.
And he also has that kind of form where he can keep up with Chen Long on those long rallies as well.
Yeah,
so
that fitness as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So let's move on to tomorrow morning, Henry. We have the mixed doubles bronze medal match, of course. Yuta Watanabe, Arisa Higashino versus Tan Chiman Seeing Sweat, Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Who are your picks for that? They've just come off losses today. What are your thoughts?
I think Watanabe and Higashino are still going to be a bit too strong for the Hong Kong pair. The Hong Kong pair have already made history, Olympic history, for the country. I'm from Hong Kong, so I would love for them to win. But I just don't see that happening, unless, of course, they are able to take advantage of Higashino's defense. But Higashino, if they can get Higashino to the front, it's game over. I think the Japanese will have a very comfortable time if Higashino can get to the front court.
Yep. Okay. I think so as well. I'm not going to disagree for that one, Henry. I do think Yuta and Arisa will win that bronze medal match. But that's to say we have predicted quite a few things at these Olympics. and being completely wrong.
Unpredictable. Everything's unpredictable.
So but yeah, we'll see how that goes. That is tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. And then we do have women's singles quarterfinals matches. Mm. And of course, there are so many of those to choose from. But what's your pick as to do not miss?
I would say Rachinok-Intanon and Tai Su Ying. Mm-hmm. They have a, was it 15-14 head-to-head.
They played each other so many times, it's 29 ridiculous.
29 games together in their decade-long, you know, history, more than decade. I think it's going to be an epic game because I think their last three matches, all of them went to three sets. Mm-hmm. Tai Su Ying just won the last one at the World Tour Finals 2020. So I actually think Rachinok's going to take this one just because she's had that shock at the Olympics already when she played Sonia Chia.
She almost lost
that one. Yeah. So she was just kind of shocked into peak performance. The challenge is whether or not she can keep up with the fitness that comes with playing Tyson.
And you look at the last, the match that you referred to, that last set was 21-9 in the third. Mm. So obviously there's probably some fitness happening there, whether she can keep up. I'm going to go Tyson Ying just because I think that she's playing really well, but she hasn't had that test or that scare, like you said, like against Sonia Chia, which we saw Rachinok, it played her into form. She played a lot better today in her match. Who did she play?
She played Tun Jung.
Yes, she played Tun Jung from Indonesia. Sorry, and I think she played a lot better in that match as well. So I'm going to go Tai Si Ying, but I do think that Rachinok could potentially do something. But Tai Si Ying for me.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. So, make sure you do not miss those matches that we just talked about, guys. But if you can watch them all, watch them all.
Okay? Absolutely.
Yep. So now we're moving on to our poll. So, look, yesterday we released a poll of name the player in the image. You'll see that on screen right now. So the answers to choose from was A, Baewon Jang, B, Akane Yamaguchi, C, Michelle Lee, and D, Kim Ga-un. And your responses actually gave a tight contest between Baewon Jang as well as Michelle Lee. You actually gave in more than 10,000 responses. And the percentage for Baewon Jang was 31.3% versus Michelle Lee at 30.6%.
But the answer is, it is Michelle Lee from Canada. So Baewon actually commented on one of those votes in the poll, and she said, "So where's my tattoo? So if it's me, where's my tattoo?" So that could have given it away because there's no tattoo. She does have a tattoo on her shoulder. So that was Michelle Lee. But for today, we do have another secret sound for you. So if you have a listen now, who is this women's doubles player? So our options are A, Shin Seung Chan from Korea, B, Stefanie Stoyeva from...
Stoyeva.
I've got my name mixed up. Yeah. Stefanie Stoyeva from Bulgaria, Chinese Jia Yifan is C, and D is Wakana Nagahara. So put your choices or your votes in now. So now it is Razor Racket time, and it probably goes to say that I'm feeling better after talking about the other matches, but I'm still quite emotional about Kento's loss. I'm a huge Kento fan, so I am going to raise my racket to Kento Momota.
Look, Jeff, I think today I want to do two Razor Rackets just because, we talked about it earlier. Baewon Jang, she cracked a joke with the poll, but after that joke, unfortunately, she had a very unfortunate event, and you know, we wish her all the best. We wish her a smooth recovery and hoping to see her back on court as soon as possible.
Yep.
So I'm going to raise mine to Baewon Jang.
So Kento, come back stronger. Same with Baewon. Baewon, you're both awesome. So raise a racket to you both. So just as a friendly reminder, we are a go at 5 p.m. local time for the matches. So that's 1 hour earlier than normal in Tokyo. So 5 p.m. tonight, and then we start again at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. So if you are still looking out for where to watch or stay up to date, then make sure you check the URLs that are on the screen right now. You've got the Match Center, you've got the live blog, and then you've also got the places that you can watch.
All right, so Thanks everyone for tuning into episode 7 of the Tokyo 2020 show. We hope you're enjoying the Olympics coverage. I know there are some big disappointments that come with the Olympics and the unpredictability of some of the results of these matches. So please still enjoy, as we will try to as well.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.